When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey guys, welcome to Not Another Anxiety Show. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and joining me today is my co-host from thebabybroad.com, Erica Latham. Hey.
See how I waited?
You did wait.
We
established that last time.
We both listened. We don't always listen to the episodes that, well, I don't always listen to the episodes that you put out, but I laughed so hard at the last one.
<I know. laughs> It probably didn't have the most quality content, but we had a good time.
Oh man, fire us!
Fire us! Yeah, yeah. I don't know if that was that episode a listener question as well. No, I don't think it was.
No, it was the self care one.
Okay, all I remember is something about whittling. That's about it. So.
So stupid.
This episode is actually it's going to be a question from one of our listeners.
Oh, I love those so much.
I love
write
those
in
too.
More questions. I love questions.
I know. Yeah. Remember, notanotheranxietyshow@gmail.com. If you have questions you want us to address on the show, please write in because we love getting questions. There's some really great ones. And this one just happens to be to Erica and I. Do you still have occasional panic attacks? Now, do you want to answer first?
Juicy. I want you to answer first because I'm embarrassed. I'm shy.
You're shy. There's a lot of words to describe you, Erica. I don't know if shy is one of them.
Pain in the ass. I can answer a very quick one, but then I want to hear like your explanation and then I'll probably chime in. Yeah, but it's different. I don't think panic is the best word to describe it. Anymore.
Yes. So my answer is.
Don't ever scream at me like that.
Sorry.
Ever again. Yes, queen.
I was going to say my answer would be yes and no, which is, I know, not very clear. So I was going to elaborate.
That's the way I felt too.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to elaborate. And it's funny I'm surprised we haven't spoke to this question yet, just because we share a lot of our personal experiences and things like that. And I was kind of surprised when I read this question. I was like, we really have not answered that, I don't think.
Not directly.
Yeah. And I'm all about transparency and being direct. So I thought it would be a good one for us to chat about.
Lay it on me, Slim.
Okay. So do we have occasional panic attacks? My answer is yes and no. So let me elaborate.
In my writing, when I say something like vague like that, I'll say like, well, give me a second.
Give me a second
to explain. Like somebody's even remotely upset. But.
Yeah. It's like, I forget what my husband always says when one of our twins are freaking out. He's like, okay, we're taking a quick detour to Mordor and then we're going right back to the Shire. Like, just hang in there.
Oh,
like,
I'm such a nerd. I love Andy so much.
Yeah, we're closet nerds. How I want to start with answering this question is I definitely feel fear, overwhelm, and anxiety at times. You know, like I have ugly cried and felt my heartbeat in my ears. Those things happen. Something that comes to mind is, you know, my C-section surgery, you know, as they were administering the spinal anesthesia, which basically makes you kind of feel numb from under your diaphragm and down. I was not zen about it. I was like, this was me. I go, what are you doing now? How are my vitals? What's that smell? Are you sure I can breathe? It feels like I can't breathe. Okay, what are my vitals now? Like I white knuckled through the entire surgery. There was nothing zen about it. Like I just literally white knuckled the whole way through. But I wouldn't say I felt panicked. And this is the difference for me. So panic is not present focused. I was way too busy being afraid in the present moment. Panic is typically like, it's a buildup of misinterpreted fears. and worries about like what could happen, not what is happening. It's constructed by the mind. It's messy, whereas fear is clearer. You know, it's clearer, it's cleaner. It doesn't have layers of extra crap like judgment. And I don't mean just kind of self-critical judgment. I mean the ways in which we judge our experience as well. Like, oh God, here's the anxiety again. It's always going to be here.
Yeah.
Things like that. You know, with fear and legitimate dangers or concerns, you're too busy being afraid in the present moment, which isn't fun, but
there's no
time to get caught in that like judgment thinking of your experience, which is, that's the perpetuator of the anxiety cycle. That's where the fuel comes from for it to like progress into panic, where we feel completely out of control, where we feel like we're going to die, or we feel like we can't handle it. That's a big part of it. So for me, I definitely feel fear, but I can't remember the last time it progressed into like that feeling of panic where we just kind of run away, like, you know, like a runaway freight train or something like that.
Runaway train, great song.
I don't know. Is that Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne? Is that what you mean? Going off the rails like a crazy train? No.
Runaway train. No, no, no. Anyway, I agree completely. Thanks for listening. That was our episode. That's a lot of what I wrote down. It feels more pure.
Yeah.
But I don't have the sense of bewilderment like I did. Half of the issue with me with panic attacks and why they seem to come on so suddenly. Anxiety was an issue for me my whole life, and I didn't know it until I had panic attacks.
Right.
Until they were two completely different things for me. And panic attacks were so terrifying. I think at least half the reason they were terrifying is because I had no idea what the heck was going on. So,
yeah, the bewilderment.
Right. So now if I'm feeling like overwhelmed or like whatever the reason is that something like my emotions are running high or getting the better of me, I know exactly what's happening. And it's just more pure, like what you said.
Yep. And that's something I kind of jotted down too, is like I know anxiety so intimately now. I've had many years of practice. So I just see it for what it is most of the time, which wasn't always the case. I know what it feels like in my body. I know the types of thoughts, urges, compulsions, and emotions that arise for me when I'm anxious. So it just doesn't have the chance to grow into panic because I see it for what it is. Panic only happens when we don't quite see the anxiety for what it is. And I know probably a lot of people out there are going to be saying what I used to say, which is, but I know it's just anxiety and I still panic. That just means you don't quote unquote know in your gut that it's just anxiety. Not yet. You have a hunch and you don't entirely trust it. Yeah, you don't entirely trust it. That's okay. You'll get there.
When I think around the time I started coaching with you, maybe even a little bit before that, I knew cognitively, I knew that it was anxiety. I knew that the sensations in my body had nothing to do with an actual ailment or illness or whatever. And it wasn't until it's just practice.
It's just practice over and a belief. And over again.
And just knowing that you can do this and really just taking those little steps.
Those little leaps of faith, you know, each time you come out the other side of anxiety, it just solidifies not the hunch, but the knowing like, okay, this is just anxiety, period, end of sentence, not this is just anxiety, but fill in the blank, you know, it just takes time to feel it in your gut to know that this is anxiety. It takes practice like anything else. And, you know, it's one of those things where the only way to kind of practice is to get down and dirty in the muck. And it's not super fun, but that sense of knowing does get established over time. I know it looks convincing and you know, it anxiety feels pretty convincing until it doesn't.
Oh, it's so personal. And my experience has been, I'm sure you can test this, but maybe not because I don't know your story. Okay. But I think, what was a challenge for me was when I really started to do the work. So it started with like there are a few weeks where I couldn't leave the house, and there are a few weeks where I felt so overwhelmed and so sensitized and sensitive to my sensitization that, you know, I was like insta tears all the time, or I felt like nobody understood me and like all the things, you know?
Yeah.
knowing exactly what it was, but I just didn't have the energy, or felt I didn't have the energy to do the work, like show up anyway, whatever it is, like showing up to whatever it is, because eventually it does pass until I started to do that. And I had, and it, you feel like you're regressing a little.
It does, because we equate feeling anxiety as regressing, but that's not necessarily true. Like
true at all. That's, it's like not, your body, you feel so sensitive, like the sensitization, if bodily sensations are your thing, like they were for me, or even just like racing thoughts or depersonalization or whatever shape it comes in, all of the above, it took kind of powering through isn't the right word. You have a great term, like
moving through, working
moving
with.
Moving through.
I mean, usually we showing just up shut anyway. The door. Usually we shut the door on it. And so if you're looking at it or hanging out with it, you're going to be tired. It's going to feel hard. It's
Oh my God. There were so many times where I would, the first time I went to a movie, and I was coaching with you when that happened. First time I did that and made it through, I went to bed at like 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I was exhausted. It's energy. Yes. But remember, like the more sensitized you are, and then the more you push that, the more your body is going to kind of balk against it, because it wants to keep you safe. So it's going to feel a little less than comfortable, probably,
But, and it's balancing it out. You don't have to push through all day, every day. It's like taking a break when life allows for it, like a breather, because it is tiring when you're willingly kind of hanging out with or exploring the anxiety. Your brain and body are going to resist that. It's like, wait, no, this is dangerous. What are you doing? Like,
right. Which is why I think exposure therapy was such a tempting option for a long time. It's like, well, just push through it. This is a little different. It's more like gently helping guide your body through something you know cognitively is safe. We're not saying you're afraid of heights, go jump out of a plane.
No.
We're saying,
I'm afraid of heights and I'm absolutely not jumping out of a plane.
like that kind of stuff. But one of the other things that really helped was hearing you say, both in your podcast at the time and coaching, was a very gentle reminder that if you feel like a regression, very much air quotes regression, because this is not linear.
Right.
That it's okay.
Part of it's literally a necessary part of the process. You are going to feel anxiety. You're going to feel tired from it. You're going to feel
alive.
Burnt out.
Well, that's the point of us saying this, like the answer
reminder.
To the question is, do we ever have panic attacks? Panic is probably a misnomer, but we do experience the emotion of feeling anxious because we're alive.
That's actually one of my mindfulness practices. If I'm feeling afraid, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, if I'm feeling that very energetic state of fear, it's like a kind of a grounding exercise where I'm like, oh, that like means I'm alive. Like, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
What a relief. It's like waking up from a bad dream a little bit. It's like a gentle reminder. Like, if I feel this fear, I am very much alive. It's a very energetic state.
Right. And kind of not reading too much into it.
Yeah.
So you're going to get, the more practice you have with this, give me like kind of a benign example. Like,
Going to the movies, going out to dinner with friends, right?
Yeah. Going to dinner. And like your main bag of chips, if you will, was that you had to look at the menu, right? Like you got really anxious about what to order. And mine was, who knows what mine was, but same thing, like that sort of like flop sweat of nerves or whatever it is, it just kind of comes, or if it feels to come out of nowhere, just because you're just generally overwhelmed or oversaturated, just sort of standing there and taking stock and saying like, I'm actually okay. This is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But if you just sort of wait with it.
Bring
it
a little bit of curiosity.
Move.
Like, where do I see this in my body? What is it like? It's just kind of becoming that observer, giving yourself a little bit of space from it. And it's kind of cool what we can learn in those moments. Not necessarily right away, because the space is like, thinner than a pencil, but
it gets bigger though.
It gets bigger.
Like now I think you and I can do those things in like a couple seconds even. Like, I feel gross. What is it? Cool. Done. You eventually get there. It doesn't mean that we feel
nothing.
Blissed
or
out.
Numb
and,
or bliss.
Right.
Yeah,
No. We get nervous and we definitely have moments of overwhelm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
hence my C-section, that poor anesthesiologist was like laughing at me the whole time.
But they probably get it. Like, we all get it, you know. Yeah. It's yours is curiosity, which I love, you know. So tell me again, like, what are you doing back there? Like,
yeah. What are you doing? How are things?
Yeah, because you've done the work now where you knew for the most part in your, you know, more lucid moments, you knew you were okay-ish, you know, and that.
And I was just too busy going through something that's kind of scary. Yeah. Like, it, you know, there's no way around it. Like, being awake for surgery is scary. Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe some people can make it not scary. I don't know if that's really the goal. I think the goal is just to be like as present as we can and not get, you know, run away with it, or to just know how to at least be with the fear when it's there. You know, I don't know how that would not be scary. I mean,
but I think that's the problem. And I think that's probably why we got this question. It's the same question I asked. Is this ever going to end?
Yeah.
Am I ever going to recover? Am I ever going to feel the way it looks like other people feel? And I think we, in our culture, in our like daily lives, I think we all have pretty similar lives. If you're listening to this, you probably have a phone that has access to, you know, whatever.
I think we experience podcasts. Some pretty similar things as humans. There's a lot of you know, universality there.
Really. And I think that we truly believe, and I think this is a construct of our brains too, to think that other people are better off than we are. It keeps us working towards something else or whatever. But the am I going to be okay, is this ever going to end thing means that you're not okay, and it won't, like, there is an end point. And I think what helped for me was changing the perception that I was at step five of step 300 steps instead of like there is. You did a great job of being like, there isn't really an end point to this, which was sort of seemingly discouraging at first until you went on to say, It's because it's not because this will never end. It's just because your relationship to it will change.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if we're kind of worried about having panic attacks, it means we just haven't got to the point where we don't really fear them, or at least know what they are. And right. that's where the suffering comes from. Is once we see anxiety and panic attacks for what they are, they like never feel great. Like, it's a lot of energy in the body. It doesn't necessarily feel great. And, you know, sometimes it does. Some people really like that feeling of excitement, even those of us that struggle with anxiety. But, you know, it changes. We start to understand and know it so well that it doesn't carry the same weight. And there was a point where I used to be afraid that panic attacks would come back. And while I can't remember the last time I had a traditional panic attack, I'm not really worried about it if one comes back, because I know what it is. It just, if my anxiety ever progressed to panic again, it would just mean it's because I misjudged that anxiety as something more sinister. It's not a big deal. You know, our brains misjudge stuff.
In that one moment.
In that one moment.
It doesn't mean it's
moment.
A disease that comes back that you'll have forever.
No, it just means like our brains get it wrong. That's basically what the podcasts Invisibilia and The Hidden Brain are all about. I mean, the summary for both of those should be, all the ways our brains F up. Like, we get it. We are, you know.
Can we make that our slogan? We talk about all the ways the brain Fs up.
Like,
oh, that's fun. I'm going to use that. That's really funny.
It really, like, that is what the description of those podcasts should be. Because really, we just get it wrong. And there might be a time in my future where, and there probably will be, where my brain gets it wrong. And I freak out according to that misjudgment. And then when it all comes down, I'll see it for what it is and move on. It's okay. Our brains get it wrong.
It's the moving on. It's not that you've had this thing happen. It's the way you rebound from that. That changes. Yeah. That's the part that changes. And then truly,
and that's the part that makes the difference.
I will, like, to the surprise, if I could tell myself this 3 years ago, or my, you know, oh my God, I'm going to be 35 in a couple weeks, by the way. My 32-year-old self. I feel so old. If I could have told myself back then, like, it's not that anxiety goes away. You know, it changes. And by the way, you will be way more calm. Like, that is true. I feel very, very different. And every time I go do something that I couldn't do before, or that would have freaked me out, and I'm not, or I'm differently freaked out or whatever, I kind of look around like, huh, no way.
Yeah. Like, at one point, that would have really freaked. Yeah. It's, I hate to give the answer, you know, like it, like I hate to say I can't guarantee you'll never have another panic attack again, but as you grow and your relationship changes to anxiety, you don't really care if you ever have a panic attack. So there's no fuel, you know, there's no fuel and you're far less likely to. So, I mean, even people that don't have panic disorder or anxiety can have a panic attack. That happens. Sure. It's just our body's way of like releasing a lot of energy, you know, it's a release. So it's, I know that can be really scary to hear if you're in the midst of it, like, oh, you can't guarantee me I'll never have a panic attack. That would have scared me too, but it doesn't mean.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting, but as you're saying, you know, cause I remember thinking that and when we started coaching, I remember thinking that like, please just promise me.
Yes. And I got to tell you, if
somebody's promising you that they'll get rid of your panic, don't believe them.
It's snake oil.
You and I have both done the online this and the, and there are many wonderful programs. I'm not dissing them, but we've done the promise me I won't have panic
attack.
We've
done the snake oil ones, you know.
I might have actually taken snake oil.
I think I tried snake oil. I think
I've eaten a bowl of cobwebs. I don't know. Who knows? But I took a baby aspirin or sugar pill or water pill. I don't know what it was, but I was convinced that it was destroying me. This is it. It's this vitamin. I was told on a podcast I should take it. Oh my God.
Can I share a quick fun fact about the placebo effect?
It works.
It works. And do you know, even when we know it's a placebo, it works. And I didn't realize it's because there's like, I guess there's placebos work on a subconscious and a conscious level. So we're used to, as humans, when we take a pill, it makes us feel better. Why else would you take one? So on this unconscious level, even when we take a placebo that we know is a placebo and feel relief, it's because it's working on this unconscious level where, like, we have been so classically conditioned that, okay, you take a pill and it takes away this pain or reduces your fever or whatever.
Makes you lose weight. Have you seen those you take a sugar pill to lose weight and people are losing more weight on the placebo?
Yep. And it's not the placebo. It's just, it's that mind-body connection. And it's funny how the placebo can still have a positive impact on us even when we know.
But that just tells you how strong your mind is. If your mind can do that, then you can change your relationship with anxiety. Yeah. No problem.
It takes time. And you know, it's hanging out in a place you'd rather not hang out because it feels really scary, but
it's gross.
It shifts and changes. It's sweaty.
I was just thinking, it's like being like, we were just talking about camping before this, like being outside, like being humid and sweaty, and
humid thunderstorm.
Yeah, and there's like,
it's buggy, it's raining, it's like wet tent everywhere.
You're checking for ticks.
Yeah,
that's what anxiety feels like. But you're still okay. You know?
But you still hang in there. You know, you still hang out on your camping trip. I mean, if you're me, you go home. But
we're not nailing this. We're not nailing this. Just stay with us. It changes. It changes. I promise it changes.
Yeah.
I would not be on the show. I would not be saying this if it didn't change.
I think a better way to answer it would be, okay, if we can't guarantee that, you know, you'll never have a panic attack again, what I can say is you do find peace and ease.
There's still peace and ease,
you know, because that's what we really want. Is it that we want panic attacks never to happen, or do we just want to find a place of peace and ease?
Isn't peace and ease a kind of dog? It's a Pekingese.
It was a joke. It took me a second. That's all. It's more a reflection on me. It's not a reflection on you.
Those crickets are my favorite thing to hear when I'm telling a joke.
So that's my spiel.
Yeah. No. I'm passionate about this because I love when people are like, well, this past weekend or last weekend, it doesn't matter. I was with my lady. And her sister said, well, I heard that you're over anxiety or you don't have anxiety anymore. And I laughed pizza out of my nose. I was like, I don't have anxiety. I'd be out of a business. Of course, everybody does. It's just, but it's different, you know, and I sleep very soundly at night.
Yeah.
So
it's entirely different. It's a good way to put it. And there is still, you will find peace and ease. It's going to come.
It's a great dog.
It's a great dog. We have to Google that. I don't know what a Pekingese looks like. Is it a small dog?
I don't even know if Pekingese is a dog. I just know Pekingese is something.
Pekingese. Thank God.
Don't Google it now. Now's not the time.
Oh, yeah. It's a small dog.
Did you really just Google?
I did. The Pekingese is an ancient breed of toy dog originating in China.
There's someone out there that's looking for relief from their anxiety, and you're. But what do they look like, Zephyr?
Really shaggy, small and shaggy. Yeah. They're called lion dogs due to their resemblance to Chinese guardian lions.
Small and
what
shaggy.
What are Chinese guardian name. Lions?
Did you hear me? I said another joke. It's funny.
No, what is it?
I said it.
Tell me.
You just ignore me. I said small and shaggy is my stage name, but it's not funny if I say it twice.
Yeah, but I missed it anyway, the first time.
Well, we're nailing it.
So also, you know, go get a Pekingese.
Get a Pekingese for your peace and ease.
For your peace and ease. Dog therapy. Big opponent. Dog therapy. There we go.
Okay.
All right, that is our episode. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and take a minute to write a review on iTunes so that we can reach and support more people. If you're looking for more resources like one-on-one coaching courses or have a question you'd like answered on the show, please visit notanotheranxietyshow.com. You can also get a free ebook there by subscribing to my newsletter. And until next time, remember, be kind to yourself.